Thank you. And to present myself, I'm a person who used to go to school in the in a school in the western part of Sweden called Arvika, and I hardly know have any contacts with these people anymore, except for one person, and that's Kjell-Åke Nordqvist. I've been asked to write about my experience from former Yugoslavia, and that is true that I spent 3.5 years there, and I learned the language not as well as I would like, but anyway, and I lost my heart in the Balkans. But this period was, as you know, a very little success when it comes to autonomy. But I can say to Jerker Orjans that if you say in the Balkans that you come from an island between Sweden and Finland, they will immediately fill in, oh, the Åland Islands, because there it's very well known. You can read more in the book about my experiences from the Balkan, but I would say that my experience in this field is based on the cooperation between autonomous territories and islands in a Nordic context, like the Faroe Islands, Greenland. They are very important in the Nordic Council, the Nordic Council of Ministers, and the Nordic Council of Ministers is a precursor among international organizations, as the decisions made by the Nordic Councils are not binding to the autonomous territories if they haven't given their consent, if it is within their legal competence. This is a unique constitution. I also have had the possibility to participate in seminars and meetings with researchers from other autonomous territories in Europe, seminars and meet with researchers and people who have been visiting the Åland Islands, such as Gibraltar, Azores, Isle of Man, Channel Islands, South Tyrol, Greek Islands, but also meeting experts like in the conferences, US 81 in 1981 that was held here in the Åland Islands, and a gathering of international lawyers from all over the world. I'm telling this, I've been also with several of you to Columbia University's big conference in Beijing 2001, and I had the great honor and pleasure to be member of the contact group for a short period of time. I'm telling you this because this is part of my experience as well and can explain something. Other areas are, of course, Nagorno-Karabakh. I've been to Okinawa and been involved in the Tibet question and the Basque question, etc., which, by the way, took a great step forward after the meeting 2 weeks ago with Kofi Annan and Gro Harlem Brundtland, Gary Adams, and the representative for Philip Blair in San Sebastian. I could continue like this, but this is a part of the background. I do believe that the Åland case has a lot that is of interest to other minorities as well as majority groups. But why do we then all the time hear, this is nothing for us, we are all so different, or the Åland case is so different, it cannot be applied anywhere else. It's, we've heard today, too early or too late. Well, I think that one reason is that in most conflicts, the parties have already made up their mind and nothing could make them change their minds. Or it is part of the negotiating strategy not to give up until they can gain something from it, strike a deal or use it as a bargaining chip. But in most cases, because they know too little about the autonomy. They have the idea that the Åland solution is a package that should be taken as a whole or not at all. This is, of course, completely wrong, and the earlier as has been said today, often used the Åland model notion has maybe made it worse. The Åland model has been used for a long time and even today, but I never use it. But this is not the biggest problem, that foreigners do not know what the Åland autonomy solution encompasses, but that most civil servants, both in Finland and in Sweden, do not know what it is all about, as actually Jerker Orjans was saying. And in Finland, you can always argue, of course, that it's difficult because of the language, but that is not the whole truth of the story. Many hoped, of course, that the Åland, Ålanders should be integrated and just a region in Finland or in Europe, and that we should get forget the whole case. And I will tomorrow be in a debate about the True Finns or the Finn Party, their shadow proposal for the budget, where they have all suggestions how to save money in Finland, because the Åland Island is just like any region in the in Finland. So what is so special with the Åland solution? Let me draw your attention to a few factors that one could draw upon when talking to other minority or majority groups. It was decided against the will of the people, and it has still lasted for 90 years. The Ålanders had the possibility to get their question on the international arena without violence. In most cases, it has to be violence. Kosovo and Tibet do not get their questions on the international arena. This is what attracts the interest from many minority groups. The international guarantees and the right to file complaints, that has been taken away, but it has been skillfully replaced by other means. And I already mentioned the Nordic Council of Ministers, etc. The power sharing mechanisms with a strict control, very complicated, but has worked thanks to the Åland delegation, the Supreme Court, the President, etc. And Professor Guy has been quoted three times here today. I always quote Professor Guy in all my speeches, but on another point, and that is when we met in a conference in New Delhi, and you said, we have our Åland delegation, and that was the Åland delegation between Hong Kong and Beijing. And I think this shows how known the Åland delegation is among these people really dealing with these issues. Of course, the Åland autonomy is a product of its time. It is never acceptable with assimilation when it comes to autonomous, to minorities, but today we would have spoken about integration, but this is an internal solution. And I think it can be defended because it was such a small minority that got this high level of minority protection, and it has survived. It is important to note that the Åland autonomy in it's important to know the Åland autonomy in every single detail, the history, the background, and to be able to understand it and why it functions if you should be able to use it. But it is equally important to know who you are talking to, because as I'm now referring to our meeting in New Delhi, where I was allowed to speak on the Åland Islands for a whole day, which I think is the appropriate time and not 15 minutes, I spoke about autonomy the whole day, because we've learned to do this. The Faroe Islands, Greenland, they use the notion self. No, they use home rule, and we used to talk about self-governance, and now we talk very often about autonomy as a more international notion. And at the end of the day, one of the parliamentarians, it was the Tibetans in exile, said, if you had spoken to us about self-government, we would have listened to you, but autonomy is nothing for us, because they know what autonomy means in China. So that is one example. Another example is talking about minorities in former Yugoslavia. No one wants to be a minority. they all wanted to be constituent peoples, as they had been in the constitution of former Yugoslavia. And I was then trying to explain that we have minority protection and we have a lot of rights. We have our own parliament, the Swedish-speaking people in Finland. That is a constituent language community. That is not a minority. It's two equal groups, but they have less much. They don't have their own legal competence, etc. Just to make the point that this is tricking with words. The Ålanders did not use all the mechanisms that were given to them in Geneva. This we were already heard, and I would now not dwell on the Memel-Klaipeda, which is normally one of my favorite topics, but that has already been done by Professor Suksi. Most people who are interested in the Åland question are highly educated academics with solid theoretical background. Few or none have any experience from being civil servants in an autonomous administration or from the counterpart, from the state, or how many are politicians with any experience from power sharing and negotiations? In fact, very few. While the people you should meet when you go out in the field, they are representatives from the administration or from the political life, and they're very often people without any language skills. And I think it would be very useful to have a roster of former politicians and or civil servants who would be ready to engage in discussions with people for whom autonomy could be an alternative, maybe assisted by a young person who knows foreign languages and the theoretical background. We have over the years received many researchers and politicians and civil servants from around the world within the framework of the contact group. And there was also a suggestion to include a sentence about promoting the experiences of the Åland autonomy in the program of the present Finnish government when drafted in June this year. But it did not find the support of the chairman of the working group. Hopefully, the present foreign minister has another view, because I do believe it is part of the Finnish brand, even if he does not want to hear the word brand, but it is part of the pride of Finland, I would say. I have a colleague who is a member of parliament, Mr. Pekka Haavisto, and who is complaining that when he has been involved in conflict resolutions in Africa and Sudan, he has wanted to bring people from the conflict to study the power-sharing mechanisms between Finland and Åland, but there has been no one ready to meet with this request in Helsinki. And there has been little readiness for meetings. And this demands, I think, should be met in the administration, Helsinki. And I think that it is important also to have a preparedness here in the Åland Islands for this. I think this is a mutual task. You meet people ridiculizing about downplaying about the autonomy. When I came to Yugoslavia the first day and I met the Minister of Justice in the independent state of Krajina, recognized by no one except for themselves and Milosevic and Karadzic maybe, the first thing he said, don't come to me and speak about autonomy and minority issues, because they didn't want any minority, they wanted independence and they didn't want to be any minority. What do you know about bloody conflicts? You come from the rich Nordic countries, from the civilized part of the world. So I understood that to be able to draw their attention and discuss with them, I had to put it in another way. So next time I said that Finland was not a rich and civilized country at its independence in 1917. The second town of Finland looked like Vukovar in 1917, 21, whenever it was. The civil war in Finland was not about the Åland question, but it was in the same framework. It was with a young, newborn state, that with the same people that the question had to be settled. It was not a quick fix. It's not the decision in Geneva in 1921 that is interesting. It is the mechanisms worked out in mutual understanding over the decades that is worth studying.
I'll give you two more minutes.
Two more minutes. Yes. That's excellent. And the... we have also, I'm not going to dwell about this, about if you have to be a democracy or not, but Finland was an autonomous territory within Russia, and Russia was not a democracy at that time, but let's leave that. Many are also saying that it's nothing for us because we are so different, or they are so different. You don't know these Corsicans or Basques, and you have been fooled by Dalai Lama. That's things I've heard. And we, from the Olden Islands, we hear, if we want to look at other autonomous territories like the Faroe Islands, that's another case. But I think that this is a way of minimizing the issues, but there are many things that we have in common. There's another thing that is extremely important, and I will not dwell on that either, and that is the notions. This is something that you have to remember when you talk about autonomy. Personal autonomy, individual versus territorial autonomy, group rights. This is, of course, an advantage to be an island if you want territorial autonomy. If you speak to urban Serbs or Serbs from Krajina, or you speak to Kosovo, or you speak to someone from the northern part of Kosovo, these are issues that you have that has to be very clear, because otherwise it is not understood and acceptable. And federation versus asymmetric system, we've also heard Professor Suksi talk about, and I think this is extremely important. I would claim that the Olden Island is not a success story. We now have three members of parliament. Not entirely, I should maybe add. We have now three members of parliament that are running for independence. And I remember the day when I was in Helsinki, and it was refused to forward the arguments put forward by the Åland government to the European Court. And this triggered a reaction. And in the following parliament, we had the first members of the independence party. And I think that we should not hide the shortcomings and the failures. We do disagree on most issues. We fight, but at the negotiator's table in a civilized way with sophisticated mechanisms. And the EU has been a setback. We heard the question of Göran Lindholm answered by Professor Suksi. And the EU know of no autonomous territories as members, only independent state. Åland is the only one, only autonomous territory within the European Union that has such a strong constitutional position that we could have remained outside. And I think that the EU should have created a modus vivendi for these entities. They would even have avoided, I do believe, the problem with the tax havens if they had been allowed in a way that they could have been controlled. It would be easier to accommodate Kosovo also, as well as Serbia, if the question of independence would have been played down. And I believe that in the future, the role of independent state will be reduced drastically, and because it's all a question of interdependence. And then I think that the perception, the notion of autonomy will be developed and of more importance.